This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
The moment of shock is just unforgettable.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.
The problem now is that we don't want to wait. You want to fall in love quick. You want to have everything quick. And in the waiting and in the playing with the waiting, the magic happens. You know, when you're not thinking, the thinking is too much chaos. And it's good. Chaos is good too. Chaos means order too for me, you know, like they're not rejecting each other.
This is Barbara Sanchez-Kane. They're a fashion designer and an artist. But that's not quite right.
A lot of people try to dismantle a name, calling me like a designer and then an artist. And to tell you the truth, the same. I do understand people need like divisions, but one thing cannot live with the other thing. Actually, never think about how they're gonna cross, but they always have this orgastic moment.
Barbara, who uses both male and female pronouns, is the founder of the masculine fashion label Sanchez-Kane. When you wear a piece of Sanchez-Kane, you're not just wearing cotton or wool or leather. You're wearing slap straps, parcel tape, condoms, garments made entirely of belts or zippers, clothes with gaping windows to your body, clothes so sculptural they make your body disappear completely. Barbara's guiding force is the macho sentimental, a hedonistic clash of masculinity and femininity. You're listening to In the Studio on the BBC World Service. I'm Alice McKee, and in this episode I'm joining Barbara Sanchez-Kane as she embarks on the creation of her next collection. Like Barbara, I'm a lesbian and somewhat ambivalent about gender, so have always hovered at the fringes of masculinity, drawn to the promises men's fashion makes about power, desire and autonomy. I want to understand how Barbara is taking menswear and turning it inside out, Frankensteining a new kind of masculinity in her own image.
In 98, because I remember it was football. I'm not a fan of football, but my dad went to something of football, like the World Cup. And he came back with this linen white double-piece suit. And it was my first suit. I was like 19 when I like became obsessed with suits, every type of suit.
I've come to Barbara's studio in Mexico City. It's tucked away in the Roma district, home to the city's artists and experimenters.
I grew up in a very conservative place. I was a little bit like numb in a way. And I guess the only thing that felt myself, like mine, and nobody could take it away in a sense, was what I was wearing. It's what clothes do, you know. It could be like a protective tip to people not get that close. So for me, it was the first barrier I knew. And it was the most easiest way to get around.
So what was it about that first linen suit that sparked Barbara's curiosity? And why did he want to start making them himself?
To understand, let's say, the ground of the tailoring practice on a blazer or a coat, the layers that hold what you only see, the different inner fabrics that hold the outer, is very structural. And I like playing with tailoring to dismantle the layer or penetrate the layer you're not supposed to penetrate.
What do I also have here?
A boot. That's a mechanic boot that does glory holes.
Walking around Barbara's studio is like taking a tour of a mad scientist laboratory. It's hard to parse everything I'm seeing. I go to sit down on a chair before realising it's been constructed from parcel tape. As I talk to Barbara, a mass of interwoven belts dangles from the ceiling between us, like a biblically accurate BDSM babymobile. There are boxes filled to the brim with ordinary objects, unrecognisably twisted or turned inside out. Slap straps.
And she had one, because you couldn't have one.
And punching bags.
So it becomes mouldy in the inside because of the sweat. Anger moulds. What else do I have here?
Do you think it helps, like, having, like, all of the stuff you've worked on before around? Like,
definitely. Yeah.
definitely. And because somebody's like, you're such a designer with your mood board. I was like, what?
It's like a mood board you can live in.
Yeah.
At the centre of the studio is a gigantic sculpture of a woman. Not what you'd expect to find in the workshop of a menswear designer. It's a twin of Enrique Asciati's bronze statue of Diana the Huntress from Greek myth, which is watched over a busy intersection of the Roma district since 1942.
And it was installed without clothing, and people were very shocked about seeing a woman undressed in the street. So they put her with the loincloth. And then for the Olympic Games, 68, they wanted to, like, make Mexico, like, modern and, you know, and whatever that means. So they were like, oh, just take the loincloth off. I did the whole reduction of the sizes, and it's a beauty pageant sizes chart. So it's like this archetype of woman that fits, obviously, this man idea about what the woman should look like, or, you know, even dress like, or undress like. Carlos Monsiváis described that we live in a un país de mojigatos. I don't know the word in English, mojigato.
It's like a prude.
Prudeness, you know, ruins everything. Mm. There's always a myth that she had an arrow, but she never had an arrow. She never had an arrow. There's always this myth, like 6 months after, I've never seen a picture with an arrow of her.
But she had a bow, right?
Bow, but the arrow, it's gone. So it's just a woman there, like, without protection, because the government is our protector, or something like that, like.
It's interesting that she's never allowed to have an arrow. Like,
there's always these stories.
She could be undressed,
yes, but no arrow.
Barbara tells me she's not sure what she wants to do with her Diana yet. Understandable. She's already in the thick of several projects, crossing the worlds of fashion, sculpture, performance and more. It's actually a little difficult to keep up. But every project begins with a charcoal sketch. Over and over, I see they've sketched on top of photos of models, outlining a tangle of two bodies, contorted into the shape of a vest.
I will show you. So first, this, I did this in the Broadway, like, it's more about men referring to lesbian as the sex about the scissoring.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the scissoring, what would I say? Instead of modeling a mannequin, because I was by myself at night, so I drew, because I was like, I want this feeling, like when you go like this to something and you, there's your finger. Is it you? Is it
you? Do you imagine in your head who's going to wear that or use that?
Sometimes yes, but not necessarily. It's the first place of encounter. It all depends, see, how you fall in love different ways. Yesterday I was talking to this artist that wants me to design something for them. I was like, I don't know, so what's elegant for you? What's seductive for you? Talk to me about what is seductive for you. Because I'm not in your body.
Before we fall any further into the wonderland of Sanchez Kane, I wanted to better understand Mexican fashion, its past and present, the order that Barbara is creating his chaos from. So I headed to the textile markets in Mexico City's Centro Histórico.
There's a lot of textile industry in Mexico, but for years it was just like a pretty standard pieces. I mean, all the garments that we used to produce, it was just like really simple, really plain, no creativity maybe. I mean, there's a lot of like traditional garments, like sombreros or boots or things.
The Mexican masculinity here calls the charro.
The charro, it's like a classic horseman. Here exists one national sport called charrería. Well, it's more like rodeo person.
Bad boy, but not a sexy bad boy.
In the last 5 years, the Mexican design is changing. Now have a more exploration.
All of the creative people are trying to innovate, not just about the shapes, but maybe, I don't know, the cuts or the material. So I think it's getting every time more, like, outrageous somehow, not really simple, maybe a little bit more queer, a little bit more punk.
The people is so free, I think so. For example, the new designers have the concept, the genderless, so it's free, it's free.
The city might be at the cutting edge of fashion, but this isn't the story everywhere in Mexico.
People doesn't like experiment a lot with their clothing. They don't want to, mostly girls don't want to bring attention to them.
This is Paulina Garcia, one of Mexico City's few female tailors and a longtime collaborator of Barbara's.
When she first hands me something, I am like, oh, how long it's gonna this take me, or how many mocks I have to do to achieve this. It's like a puzzle. That's the part that I like the most. I start like putting the puzzle like in my mind that, okay, because patterns is flat, like blue paper for a building. It's all flat. And then you have to think which one of these is going to be like a circle or a feet or a hand or something like that. I was always inspired by McQueen and all these great designers that if you open any garment, you can see like very polished, very quality finishes. And with Barbara, that's the most difficult for me, because when something has a lot of material or shapes popping up, it's like a floating canvas. And then we built all of the inside, like if the garment was just simple. So we make basically we make two. But when it's finished and it's just like the sketch, that's the most joy there.
Back at the studio, Barbara's scissoring sketch is coming to life.
So Paulina did, this looks like a soft sculpture just because Paulina did the pattern making. And now we 3D scan, so that's where you have all the folds. And this is plastic now, and this, you know, it's going to be in the inside of...
It takes its place among a host of strange figures hanging throughout Barbara's studio, many of which have been woven out of cheap plastic belts, another recent project of his.
I love when I'm by myself at night here. I've been staying, like, you know, shaping the belts. I'm like, hopefully I don't fall from the stairs because nobody will save me. I'm like, but then I do it, and then I leave, and then the next morning it's like, oh, I love you, or I hate you, or let's work on you again. And then the minute you take it off, I don't know how to put it back again. It's something very like a trance. It's like 2 hours that you're not thinking because you're so involved into it. I don't know how to get back at it. I don't know even how to get it. Arturo that works here, like, he took it down. I was like, you know, I don't know how I put it.
Do you remember?
Yeah. And it took a week because I was like, I cannot see you. I always like, I cannot see you, and I go do something else. And then one day I was like, Arturo's like, we need to put it back again. I was like, okay. First thing in the morning, I'm going to take her and, you know, put it back again. And then it happened. But it's very intuitive.
I like this dichotomy that she works with, feminine and masculine, and these macho stereotypes. We live in Mexico, a very patriarchal society. You still catch fathers, even younger generation, talking to their sons or daughters, telling boys don't cry, girls should sit like this. If you have a brother, he can go out and you can't, and something like that. Even if you walk on the streets, you can like feel that it's not that safe for women.
So how does Barbara's work disarm this claustrophobic patriarchy? Often, it's by poking fun at masculine ideals and stripping away their uniform, sometimes quite literally. One of Barbara and Paulina's most recent collaborations involved performers marching around Venice in military attire, only when they turned their backs, you could see that half their uniform was missing, replaced instead by lingerie.
She explained me that she wanted to make this meme. You maybe saw that online. It's
the guy
in the mirror with the full suit and the back is like lingerie.
Yeah.
And she told me she wanted to like play with that idea.
You're like opening the body, because like the militaries are ready to be used, let's say, by who's in government, no, in power, let's say. And then if you open the back, you will like then cover that it's a body, you know, but that body it's a different type of body, and you start seeing the human under it and not just like a number in a military compound, let's say. The military uniform is structured in a way that you will feel fitter and taller and this power. How does the uniform change the perspective of how we see the other? That's what clothing do in general. Obviously, somebody was wearing, like, I don't know, a Trump thing. It's like, okay. I don't know, it's like scary.
You're listening to In the Studio on the BBC World Service.
Joining me in the studio is a science someone who always makes me smile.
Unexpected Elements brings you the most surprising science.
Professor Seller is wearing a giant banana costume. This is my first time ever interviewing a banana, especially one that's a professor of chemistry.
Bananas are fundamentally hilarious, but it's also the extraordinary lubricant properties of bananas.
Unexpected Elements from the BBC World Service.
What's banana in Romanian?
It's banana, so it's
oh, that's
the same
disappointing.
Thing.
Search for Unexpected Elements wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Alice McKee, and I'm in Mexico City, exploring the work of fashion designer Barbara Sanchez-Kane. I arrived in Mexico less than 24 hours after the swearing-in of a new US president, who immediately began a sweeping immigration crackdown, restarted the building of the wall along the Mexico-US border, and promised to rename the Gulf of Mexico Gulf of America, along with a decree about the immutability of sex, which some have joked technically makes all Americans legally female. With a US president who has been found liable for sexual abuse, can the cult of hypermasculinity be felt in Mexico too?
I think a lot of people inside, they're being quiet. They feel like now they're like, oh, men have been oppressed because women have better jobs now than men, have more education in a way, like PhDs and... And now I believe they're coming out of this, like, closet. And they're like, oh, I have this amazing, for them, not for me, supporter of you know, what a man should be. And, you know, if I don't know if that makes sense. Like,
no,
like they were, like, you know, like, secretly not saying nothing. And now they're like...
It's like they've been given permission.
Permission. Yeah. Like, these are what I feel. So now I think we're starting a different era of what's... what the masculine is gonna, you know, encounter. And so I'm scared a little bit of where we're going back to.
It's understandable that Barbara, a gender-fluid lesbian trying to deconstruct masculinity through fashion, might feel the walls are closing in.
I still have people surrounding me that think that it's you're a man or a woman. That's the only answer. I guess a lot of people is afraid about we're getting, like, closer and closer and
like the sort of lines are being blurred kind of thing or...
and closer just like not wanting people to get in so like, you know, borders and like, you know, things are getting like more tight.
When the stakes are this high, it's hard to know how clothing or any art form can make a difference. What power does a vest have against the rigidly guarded castle of masculinity? Perhaps because of this, over the last few years, a trend has emerged in Barbara's work. His garments have always been sculptural, but more and more, he seems to have outgrown the need for a human body as part of his work.
One of the first times I started doing patterns, it was always like about thinking about the object and how to cover the object. And instead of like using the mannequin, the typical mannequins, I used as my stand, as a pedestal, different objects in order to find the silhouettes. You know, how can beauty flow into different directions.
The scissoring vest has now been given a body to wear in the form of a sculpture.
That's wood. Oh, wow. There's going to be wood.
Oh my God.
Like bended wood. See, it's going to be wood and actually this, Victor sent it to me.
Barbara's sketch and Paulina's pattern have now taken the shape of a tangle of wooden bodies, which will be dressed in the vest. As she strays further from traditional textiles towards harder materials that require more than a sewing machine, Barbara has begun to collaborate with Victor Martinez and his foundry, Yunque.
Igual que el artista creando el objeto,
Victor understands materials for me. It's, you know, it's like, I feel like my drawing sometimes is the silhouette of the 3D of the sculpture. So it's like more about telling the story to Victor. It's like, how can we articulate a mannequin?
A la altura de, del imaginario creativo de, de Bárbara.
So basically it's like collision between dreams and actually the functionality of that dream. That Junque is like taking aside, like, okay, for you means something, but for me it's going to mean how could I resolve it in terms of somebody can carry it, or how it's going to travel, or how it's going to be dismantled to make it, to literally to put that dream to work.
What was it that appealed to you about these materials? Because it was moving away from textiles to harder materials, metal and plastic.
I guess it's more about the expansions of where can I get the body through, like, let's say. Even when I started like designing back in like in school, it's like thinking about how like a sofa could like take the sofa out, the pattern of the existing sofa, and make it through a coat or whatever. So now instead of covering those objects, I was using like the guts of the object, let's say, and the guts of the object and the intestines and all that, like, you know, came through the exploration in UK.
Barbara shows me the 3D print of his scissoring vest, which is to be cast in bronze by Victor and his team.
So you can see, so first it comes with the sketches and then the modeling, and then this is the you know, the 3D scan of that modeling that you see here in plastiline and plaster. Este logo deformed as a gilet, as a vest.
The tangle of bodies has begun to take a new shape, one that looks familiar. The points of elbows have been twisted into wings. A foot has transfigured into what looks like a beak.
The eagle, you can see it all around IMSS, the hospitals. It's like this eagle protecting this mom. So it's the political body always protecting the woman. And it's the eagle like rapping, like, I'm going to protect you, like I'm your protector.
And why did you want to use that?
Because it's the, like when I was talking about the Diana, it's like creating these. For me, it's fictional in a way, because obviously it's who's in power who decides who's the defender, no? Like, I would protect you. You don't have, because you're a woman, you don't have the means or the capability. So count on me. It's like this idea of like very macho idea of like, I'm going to surround you, I'm going to take you, and I'm going to see. And it's like, too, like talking about the desire of the woman without their autonomy, you know? So it's just like, why?
It's like taking away the option. See. It's like, oh, so I'm like, protecting you, but you don't even...
Even like talking of Diana Cazadora, she was the huntress and the protector too. Why do we say chaos and order are like just very different and they like collide? No.
It seems impossible that the flowing bodies of Barbara's vest have been carved and cast from materials as steadfast and unforgiving as oak and bronze. But with Victor's help, they've created something that looks soft and human. And somehow wearable.
You know, materiality too has, it has a charge to it, let's say, like metal, you know, and things like that. They're supposed to end up in somebody's hands that we already have a precondition that who is holding that materiality. You know, we're made of all these fragments of you know, embedded ideas that we live in.
We might attempt to push our ideas of gender onto material, but fashion pushes back. Clothes can create bodies that aren't found in the natural world. Ones with contours and tapers that the human body cannot hope to recreate. Even if you think the world of fashion has nothing to do with you, every day you wake up and put on clothes, perhaps just to exist in without witnesses, and you shapeshift. What does the body that wears Sanchez Kane shapeshift into?
Nothing is static, even masculinity. Like, that we have both of the charges and we can be... Because, like, even, like, for me, it's, sometimes I have, like, people are like, how you would like to be, you know, gender? I was like, I do believe, like, you're not the same person, not even, like, at the end of the day, you know? Or you know, having, like, we can have this conversation at the beginning and my answer will be completely different than the answers I'm giving today after the transcendent of the day. Even like us talking, you know, in front of each other has a different meaning than if you were by my side or we were in a different scenario. And I like the diffraction between how our conversation or how the clothing is gonna change even your movement and the way you talk. So there's room for not finding an answer and not like saying masculinity should be this or that. I'm not no one to say what femininity or masculinity is. It's just something I understand that is in constant change. Mm. And that's why I keep exploring different materialities and, you know, mediums and see.
Perhaps then, Barbara's clothes don't make you shapeshift into something specific. A man, a charo, a bad boy. But they give you the ability to shapeshift into something beyond your recognition. To temporarily leave your body and all its implications of gender. And instead be chaos for a while. But I suspect Barbara's clothes don't just transform the wearer, but the viewer too.
And I do believe, like, I always love collectors that they believe they're buying a thing that is not the thing. So it's like a little penetration to their little collection. And it's like, oh, it's going to go to your collection. But this is actually, for me, it's a different story. But you see it the way you want to see it. So I like this idea of you taking home something like, it's like a little bit, it's not disguise, really. It's just people want to see what they want to see, you know. And they
it's
want.
Like infiltration.
Infiltration, yeah. It's a little, yeah, secrets.
Before I left Mexico City, I went to see the original statue of Diana, the one Barbara has a copy of in his studio. The protector and the hunter, dressed or undressed throughout time for modesty or modernity. Rush hour swirls around her feet, skyscrapers tower over her. She's hemmed in by road rage and cold, slightly phallic totems of masculinity, chaos and order. And she doesn't even have an arrow.
I remember the first time I came to Mexico City, I saw the fountain and it was like, oh, you know, like, she's beautiful.
Yeah. Do you think you'll give her a bow and arrow?
See? See?
You've been listening to In the Studio with me, Alice McKee, on the BBC World Service.
Joining me in the studio is a science someone who always makes me smile.
Unexpected Elements brings you the most surprising science.
Professor Sella is wearing a giant banana costume. This is my first time ever interviewing a banana, especially one that's a professor of chemistry.
Bananas are fundamentally hilarious, but it's also the extraordinary lubricant properties of bananas.
Unexpected Elements from the BBC World Service.
What's banana in Romanian?
It's banana, so it's
oh, that's
the same
disappointing.
Thing.
Search for Unexpected Elements wherever you get your BBC podcasts.